This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 has been our foundational text for several weeks now as we have been discussing how to fulfill God's plan for my life, how to fulfill God's plan for your life. We have discovered during this teaching that we have that everything that has been created was created for purpose, everything. Therefore, you and I have been created for a purpose, and the purpose for a thing precedes the making of that thing. Therefore, we found out that God has known our purpose for being even before we got here. And we really proved that in the scripture by showing that the Bible says that God told Jeremiah that he knew him even before he was a part of his mother's womb. So it's understandable now that God, who is the creator of all things, has created you and I for a purpose. And for a purpose to be fulfilled, it must operate according to an inseparable plan. In other words, for everything that's made, there's a plan how that thing ought to be used. And so God has a plan for your life and my life. And only as we function by God's plan will you and I reach a level of completeness and fulfillment. The reason there are so many frustrated Christians, the reason there are so many unhappy Christians, is because they are not functioning according to the plan of God. Now, God's plan is found in his word. It's not spooky. I don't have to ask anybody. You know, I don't have to go to some two-headed person, as they say. I don't have to go to a fortune teller. If I want to know what God wants for my life, what is the plan of God for my life, it is clearly revealed here in his word. God is not mysterious. He does not move in mysterious ways. If God wanted to be mysterious, then he would not have had this Bible written. This Bible is written that we might know and that we might understand the plan and mind of God. And so Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter 11. He's talking to some people here, some disciples and others who are standing around. These people had been struggling to know about God, struggling to please God in the energy of their own flesh. And so now Jesus says to them, if you really want to find happiness, if you really want to find completeness, then here's what you need to do. Verse 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that, what? Labor and are heavy laden. And here's his promise. He says, and I will do what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my what? My burden is light. So we have been discovering how to reach this place of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we found that the yoke is an instrument that gives direction. So during this teaching on how to fulfill the plan of God for my life, we are finding some direction. God's given us some direction for our lives. Well, we said that in the human experience, there are four levels of purpose. And in each level of purpose, of course, there is a corresponding plan. So there are basically four levels of the plan of God. Number one, we talked about the global plan of God or the purpose of God. That's for all men that are created. Whether a person is born again or not, God's got something to say about their lives. And in the global plan of God, God has designed it so that every person will come to know him. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it is the will of God for every person that walks this earth, every person who is born, every person who is alive, and it is God's will that that person come to know God as their Savior and Lord. God wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Amen. So God wants a relationship with every person that's living. Now, once I move into a relationship, we talked about that second level of purpose, and that is the relationship purpose. Now, how will I know what I'm supposed to do? How will I know? Do I just go to church and do what I see others doing? That could be a mistake. They may not know what they're supposed to do. So if the blind follow the blind, they both fall in the ditch, right? So you don't want to just join church and just, you know, follow what you see others doing. You need to know for yourself. They could be doing it wrong. Amen? That's possible. They may not be intending to do it improperly, but they could have good intentions, but just doing it wrong. If so, they won't get the desired results. Neither will you if you copy. And that's the hardest thing for believers to do. Very hard for believers to do. Once they started doing something one way, without having examined the word of God on it, and then when you show them in the word, well, now, this is not the way you're really supposed to do it. We've been doing it for 50 years that way. My mama before me, and her mama before her, and her mama before her, and her mama before her. And I'm not changing. Okay. Have it your way. But if you don't do it God's way, you don't get God's results. Amen? Now, so we did say that once a person is saved, that person needs to become a part of a local church. Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, so that person can learn what the Word of God has to say. Now, just look around you today. Look around you today, and you'll see believers with their Bibles. Now, isn't that awesome? You got believers with their Bibles. You got believers taking notes. Because, see, these people are serious about the things of God. They know that in this plan of God is everything that they're going to need to be successful in life, to find fulfillment in life, to guide them in all of their relationships. See, they know that. So that's why they've come here, not to be entertained by me, but they've come here to find out, now, what does God say I'm supposed to do? Are you listening? So now, the church should do four things. Number one, the church should provide the instructions from the Word of God so that your life can be changed, transformed, so that you can be more like Christ. Number two, the church should teach you how to function and operate under spiritual authority. Number three, the church should teach you how to support the kingdom of God in the earth realm. Number four, the church should also teach you how to share the gospel message with the world. Now, we are currently at that third point and haven't been able to leave there for quite some time. Because when we got at this third point of how to support the kingdom of God, then a lot of questions came up. And we began to deal with those questions from the Word of God. Now, turn with me in your Bibles and let's begin to explore this just a little more. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I want to look there now. Those of you who are taking notes, you might want to write this emphasis statement down, this important statement. The giving of tithes and offerings, the giving of tithes and offerings is God's plan to prosper us materially and financially. That's God's plan to do that. So you really don't need to, glory to God. You really don't need to take one of those 1-800 numbers off television, or you really don't need to go to the lottery stand to buy the lottery ticket and scratch and hope. You don't need to go down to the dog track. Now, you got to understand, the dog track's in business to do what? To make what?
Money.
To make what?
Money.
To make money. Now, how are they going to make money? They're going to make money from folk who come there. They're not in the business of giving away money. They're in the business of taking your money. Same thing with the lottery. And you just got to use a little sense. You know, just not much. Just think a little. That was not designed to bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, but giving and receiving is God's plan to increase you materially and financially. Now, Luke 6:38. Yeah, are you there? Now, we got a lot of ground to cover today, so I want you to understand when I move a little rapidly in this. It says, give and it shall be what?
Given.
given unto you. Now, this is the word of God. Hush the person next to you. This is God's word. Now, you cannot let the devil talk you out of this and make you think this is some game. His aim is to defeat you. And the only way he can defeat you is to discredit God's word so that you will not obey God's word. That's what he did to Eve in the garden. He just got her to question, is this really God? That's the first thing the serpent said. He said, did God really say that? Are you sure? He said, you know, God said, you know, don't touch the tree and don't eat it. And the devil said, you know, God really said? Are you sure? So that's what he does when it comes to this. He says, give and what? And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now that's the place where most people want to be. They want to be at the running over. Don't be getting religious on me today. Amen? All right. He says, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So God's plan to increase you materially and to increase you financially is through your giving. That's how he's going to do that. Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Because my natural actions of obedience trigger spiritual activity that affects my life. My natural actions, the actions I take in this natural physical realm, will trigger spiritual activity. Now, if that action is an action of obedience, it will affect my life in a positive way. If that act is an act of disobedience, it will affect my life in a negative way. But the things that you do will affect your life. The things that you do will trigger spiritual activity that will either work for you or work against you. And you must understand that. Galatians chapter 6, are you there? Now, look there, look quickly with me in verse 7. It says, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. That's what this is saying. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he's saying, now don't fool yourself and don't let anybody else fool you. That whatever you sow, set in motion, you're going to reap that. All right? Now, I'm really interested in my young people getting this message. I'm really interested in young people getting this message. And here's the reason why. Because the system of the world is at work, working on their lust for things. And the system is so training them, and it's convincing them that they cannot do it legally. Many black guys. That's why a black guy go stick up a 7-Eleven or Stop and Go for $50. Put your whole life on the line for $50. I mean, give away years of your life for $50. My black brothers, how can you be so stupid?
Us church folk just sitting here, just let it happen. We try to act like it's not happening. God wants them blessed. God wants you blessed. God's got a way to bless us. Are you listening? And you don't have to sell dope to do it. Glory to God, you don't. Are you listening? Well, that's not my lesson. Let me move on. But I sure feel the urging to talk on that a little bit. All right, now. So it says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What this is really saying is, unless you work the principles of the Word of God, unless you obey them and work them, then you will not reap what is promised. If you don't obey God and do what God says, you have no right to believe or to expect to be blessed.
To expect to increase and to expect to be blessed without obeying God is a misguided expectation. Are you listening? Now, let's move on. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. I must know that my natural choices, the natural things that I do, will trigger spiritual activity that will either work for me or will work against me. That's why the scripture says, if you sow to your flesh, you do those things that are against the will of God, against the plan of God, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap destruction to yourself. You go out there, you pick up a gun, you go out there, you rob a, still don't have 7-Elevens anymore here, do Stop and Go, you rob Stop and Go, or Jack in a Box or whatever. You do that, sow into your flesh, doing what you want to do because you're a man, you've been watching television, look good on television. You do that, and you have just sown to your flesh, and you're going to reap corruption. I mean, you're reaping death on your life. A lot of my black brothers watch this program in jail. And you know, nobody's guilty in jail. No, everybody in jail is innocent. No, man, you know, I was with them, but, you know, me, myself, you know, I told them don't hit them. You know, I was just there. You know, I told the man don't steal the car. I told him don't steal the car. But, you know, I had to get back home. So I was just riding in the car. That's just me. I was just in the car. I didn't do nothing. No, I didn't. I did have a little money for gas. I put some gas in the car. But, you know. And look, I told him not to shoot the man. I told him, look, don't shoot that man. I told him. But now he shot the man. I was just there. You brothers who there, I mean, learn from this experience. Brothers watching me on television there. They writing me. I'm talking to them. Don't get mad at the system. You sold to your flesh. Now you need to start sowing to the spirit. You can get out of jail and you can prosper in life. Now in Joshua chapter 1, here's what the will of God is for all of us. I want you to get this because as we go into a new year, I'm looking for God to prosper you in ways that you were never prospered before. It says, this book of the law, look at this now, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein how often? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, there are a lot of Christians who get upset with me when I teach on prosperity. They get real upset with me. They say, there you go. He's that prosperity preacher. You see? Yeah, that's that prosperity preacher. And you got to watch that. They tell their members. You better watch that. They don't tell their members. They call here asking for money. Glory to God. They don't tell their members that they call me, this church, wanting this church to loan them thousands of dollars, the prosperity church. They don't tell their members that. But they all get on me. They say, yeah, you don't have to watch that he over there with that get rich quick stuff. I'm teaching what the word of God says. And it doesn't just work for me. And it ought to work for me. If I've been teaching this 8-9 years and I'm still without, then I don't see why you ought to listen to me. I don't hide my blessings. Don't have to hide my blessings. I'm a blessed man. I'm glad about it because the word of God works. It worked when everybody said it would. Are you listening? So I'm very bold when I teach this because, see, it works. It works whether folk want it to work for you or not. So you have to make a decision whether or not you want to enjoy God's best or not. And if you do, I will teach you how to do it. Because I'll teach you what the word of God says. Look, this is God talking to Joshua. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So you're going to be locked into this word. That's the first point. You're going to be locked into the word of God. So you can't go off. You don't go off
work in the word of God. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, meditation is God's plan to change what you believe. Because many of you, it's impossible for you to believe right now that you can be blessed. Your mother didn't have nothing. I'm not talking about your mama. But your mother didn't have anything. Your father didn't have anything. Your sisters and brother don't have anything. Your cousins, your aunties, your uncles don't have anything. All them living in the projects. All them living, you know, and living at, you know, on welfare checks. And you've come here the same way. You didn't get any good education and all that sort of thing. And you go, now, Pastor, hear you? You say that I didn't say it. This is what the word of God says. God's not a respecter of persons. And what has happened in your life, you have sold yourself short. You've talked yourself out of what God has for you. My job here is to take you, shake all that dust of the world off of you, all that negative thinking off of you, all that poverty thinking off, shake all that off of you, teach you the word of God so you can walk in and experience God's best. So you will have to begin to meditate on the word of God. I mean, to meditate on God's word. So you can change what you believe. It says, and observe to do that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you're going to become obedient to the word of God. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? And this is God talking. Now turn to your Bible. So Psalms 1. We must establish that it is the will of God for you to be blessed. It is God. It is not God's will that your giving should cause you to go into poverty. It is not God's will that your giving causes you to have less. Are you listening? Now, when you get your bank statement, when you get your statements from the church, many of you will be astounded at how much you did give. Many of you will be astounded that you didn't give what you thought you were giving. Amen. See, them dollars add up. You give a dollar every week, that's even $52. You know what I mean? And we don't wave anything over and multiply it. But you give 52, that's all you can report to Uncle Sam is a 52. You know what I'm saying? And we don't play no games with you. We don't let you tell us what you need to make your budget, your figures on your income tax come out right. And people have asked us to do that. Yeah, one said, well, you know, just say I gave. No, you didn't give that. Y'all be surprised at people. Y'all really would. Now, so when you look at your statement, you may say, wow, I gave all of that. You know what I could have done with that money? You know, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You were obedient. But the devil will rush in with those thoughts to tell you could have had more. All right, now, look at Psalms 1. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what I'm saying. You got to get serious about the word. I've given out a challenge. If you'll get serious about the word of God this one year, make 1993 the year that you will be serious about God's word, that you're going to commit yourself to be obedient to the word of God. You're going to do exactly what the word of God says. If you're married and got a girlfriend, you're going to quit her this year. I mean, you're going to quit her now, and you're going to go without your girlfriend all year. If you got two or three sugar daddies coming by, you got to get you a job. That's what you got to do. See, they don't think I know, you see. They don't think I know, but I know. See, you got two or three sugar daddies coming over. You just got them scheduled. Hoping they don't bump into each other, you know. Because you don't want to work, you know, and you don't want to live. But anyway, you got to quit. You got to let them go. Let the sugar daddies go. Get you a job. And you're going to do it God's way. All right? You're going to quit fighting your wife. Quit fighting your husband. Because some of these women whoop their husband. You're going to quit fighting your husband. Listen to me now. You're going to be a diligent person this one year. And my challenge to you that if God does not reward you, if you cannot next year this time look and see a tangible difference in your life materially, spiritually, emotionally, then I'll shut this church down. I'll buy you a drink. I'll buy your first drink going back to the club. I pay for your first. I pay for your first drink. See, now a lot of folks, oh, he shouldn't say that. He shouldn't say that. All right, y'all stand to your feet. Some of y'all trying to sleep on. All right. All right. All right, y'all stretch. All right, let's get back at it. Amen. Now, let's get back to the word. Come on now. So his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't be able to enjoy life. I'm not saying that, you know, you quit, I'm not saying that you retire from life. I believe in enjoying life. I believe in having abundant life. Amen. But now there's some things that, you know, that may take away from your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, see, I really don't see any, I believe, going to the nightclub. I really don't believe you have a place there. Now, I know you're saying you... witnessing. But let's just quit playing games. You know what I'm saying? Let's just quit playing games. You don't have any business there. You see? I mean, that's right there with the ungodly. So when the ungodly get to cussing and fighting, and the bullets get to flying, no sense you trying to pray, oh Lord. No. He delivered my life from the stuff. You should have kept your butt from that place. Let me get my lesson. Go on, hallelujah. All right, verse 3. So we're saying we're going to commit to the word of God uncompromisingly. This is what will happen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And look at this. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Shall prosper. It's the will of God for you to prosper. It is God's will for you to go through this life with every need you have met. If you're in a place of need today, that's not where God wants you. That's not God's best. And you don't get upset with me preaching this. What you need to do, you do the same thing that a sinner would do when that sinner hears that God wants him saved. He rises and said, I'm not where God wants me, so I want to get where God wants me. What do I need to do? See, that's the attitude to take. I have not always been where you see me, where I am right now. I know exactly what it means. I know exactly how you feel when you go home knowing your light bill is not paid. And you're hoping that they didn't come by that day. I mean, you hit that switch with faith. And if by chance you open your eyes and the light's still on, you go, glory to God. One more day. I know what it's like. See, some of y'all try to act like, but I know what it's like. I've been there when they cut the gas off, and you'll thank God for electricity. Let's pull out the hot plate so we can cook. I've had them come pick up my car. You didn't pay all your notes on it, and you can't make any more notes. And they come with the truck. The guy asked me, you want to park it down the street? I said, no. No, it's right in my driveway. I don't want to park it down the street. Somebody may hit it or it might get stolen on the way down. I mean, you come get it right now out of my yard. I couldn't pay the man's note. But I also know what got me where I am today, where every need in my life is met. And it's because I committed myself, my life, to the word first. You follow me? First gave myself. I'm diligent in the things of God. I gave myself to God. All the foolishness in my life had to cut it out. And committed myself uncompromisingly to this word. Now you say, well, you bragging. No, I'm not bragging. I'm just letting you know it's possible. Because see, you can look at so many wicked folk in positions of authority that you believe everybody's wicked. that righteousness and holiness is a possibility for you here and now. It is. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I'm striving to it to get there. When I find something's not right, I correct it. I want to be right with God. I've committed myself to this, and the Bible says he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So you and I must quit playing games. We can try to do it like the world and reap corruption. Or we can do it like God, and God must honor his word. All right, let's move on in our lesson today. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, in this passage, I want to Galatians chapter 3. I want to let you know why many people who love God are not being blessed. Why many people who love God, because there are people who watch television, they love God, been going to church all their lives, and they're still not blessed. All right, it says here, verse 14, Galatians 3:14. It says the blessings of Abraham. I'll go verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Look at this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I want to lift this principle out because this is a universal principle, that the promises of God are received by faith. God's promises does not automatically and will not automatically come on your life. They are not automatic. No more than a person will automatically be saved. A person will not automatically, because they're a child of God, experience prosperity or be blessed. The blessings of God, you might want to write this, are received by faith. They are received by faith. So if you don't understand biblical faith, then you won't receive those blessings that biblical faith provide. Or you listen to me. See, now a lot of people get real upset when they go, you can't say I don't know faith. I've been in church a long time. I know the Lord will make a way. That's not the question. I know he's a doctor in the sick room. That's not the question. Do you know how to get him to make a way for you? Do you know how to get an appointment with the doctor? See, that's the question. And it happens by your faith. God doesn't bless me because I'm a preacher. He blesses me because I found out how to operate in faith. I was a preacher when they repossessed my car. I was a preacher and pastor when they repossessed my car. You know, members didn't have no money. I could have called them up to get in it. They were poverty stricken too. I mean, couldn't ask them for anything. I was a preacher when the light company came and cut my lights out, and I had to go to my friend Reuben Sampson's house and stay with him that night. Told my children, we're just going to visit the Sampsons right now. And Reuben Sampson, basically, he used to do the same thing. They chop his lights off, and, you know, he said, here yet, I'm on my way. Our van, as you come, our van, I'm on my way. We already knew what was happening. No problem. That wasn't God's best. And until I found out how to use my faith, I could not overcome that. Same thing with you. Now, the next point I want you to write down is that faith starts where the will of God is known. Faith starts where the will of God is known. That's why I've just read you those previous scriptures on prosperity. Because you've got to get it in your spirit, not only in your mind, but down in your heart, that God wants you blessed. You got to get it. Now I'm going to tell you, everybody around you will try to pull it out of you. You even go home today and say, well, praise the Lord. You know, I was at the New Light today, and man, I found out God wants me blessed. Somebody said, what? That God wants me prosper. That sounds like that real Mike stuff. Child, where have you been? And see, my name is not IKE. I read you that out of not the book of Ira, not the book of Ike, but I read you that out of the Bible. That's God's will. So I must get it in my heart. And I got that in my heart when I had nothing, that God wanted me blessed. I had two shiny suits that I had to iron myself. I couldn't even afford the dry cleaners. But down in my spirit, I got that God wants better for me. He has provided better for me. And the only way I'm going to get it is by faith. So I needed to learn. Now, God, how do I release my faith to get this? Because everybody around me wanted to talk me out of it. Everybody. I'm serious, y'all. People around me were saying, that can't work. How God gonna bless you? You have any members? And then when I quit hooping. You know, I used to be a hooper. Now, some of y'all may not understand hooping. If you didn't come out of a Baptist church or maybe a Church of God in Christ type background where those churches are very emotional, you may not understand the term to hoop. You'll not get a demonstration today. But when I quit that entertaining type thing at the end of the lesson, all my friends said, boy, your minister gonna die. They said, you threw your gift away. In the Bible, it's the gift of the Spirit. So you've thrown your gift away. He said, nobody's going to come sit and listen to you. And you're just going to talk for an hour. And you expect folk to come. And you don't have, at that time, we had no choir. Yeah, Sister Clark, she's been with me all this time. Been with me all this time. Several of us been around here. Now, no choir. You know what I used to do on Sundays? Stand up. I'd lead a praise song. And I'd say, get your Bible. Acapella, because we had no musician. Telling you what God's word will do in your life. Now turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. I've got to build a foundation in you where you will understand and that you will never question whether or not it's the will of God for you to be blessed. And how it's going to happen. All right, are you there in Mark chapter 16? Look there in verse 20. It says, I'll back up to verse 19. Well, I'll just read verse 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working how?
With him.
The Lord working how?
With him.
The Lord working how?
With them.
With them. So God's not going to do it for you. He's going to work with you. God working with them, doing what? Confirming the word with signs following. So that's what God's going to do in your life. He's going to confirm the word that you obey. You obey the word, he will confirm it with results. If you obey the word, he will confirm it with the results. It's not an emotional thing. That's why it work you up emotionally. And it's not about how you feel. It's about saying, okay, God, this is what your word says. And this is what I have done. And this is what I expect. Not about feeling. So I don't work you up emotionally. I don't want you to be emotionally worked up on this. I want you to have a steadfast confidence that God's word works all the time. And he will confirm his word in your life no matter what the situation may look like. Now, I went to Phyllis Wheatley during the era when it was a dominant basketball power. That was in the 70s, late 69s and 70 area. I mean, tremendous basketball program. Brother Stanley's father was the coach. Awesome, a genius of a man. We had so much confidence at that school. We did not believe we could lose a basketball game. Anybody from Wheatley remember that? Come on, Wheatley, let's raise your hands high. Let's let these other folks. Yeah, glory to God. Now, we didn't believe. Let me tell you. It was unthinkable that we could lose. Am I right? I mean, unthinkable that we could lose a game. I mean,
totally unthinkable. And even if we were even behind, and one game, I mean, we got behind by 10 points in the game, we say, Mr. Carr, he's just messing with their minds. We're going to win. I mean, that's the kind of confidence we had. Even when we're behind, we still talking trash. Like, oh, no. I mean, they can't win. I mean, Mr. Carr got a plan. He just, you know, he just playing with them. We'd always walk out the gym with the victory. The school had no knowledge then to even think of defeat. It was just about what we were thinking about, how much would we win by. You know, I mean, are they going, we should call it, you know, hitting 100, busting the yard. Are they going to bust the yard in the third quarter or the fourth quarter? I mean, that's the way it was. Unthinkable to lose. If you can have confidence like that in a natural situation, what about an almighty God? It should be unthinkable in your life that God would not confirm his word. It's unthinkable that God would ever let you go lacking. If you're obedient to his word, he must confirm his word with signs following. Amen? Now, I want you to look with me at one more scripture here for today. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Glory to God. Anybody getting blessed out of this? Hurry, Romans 10, 17. We made several statements. Statement number one, all the promises of God are received by faith. Statement number two, faith starts where the will of God is known. And now this next statement is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All right? Romans, are you there? Chapter 10. It says there in verse 9, starts there in verse 9. We'll read that. It says that if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Now look at this. This is the mechanics of faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now drop down to verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by what?
Hearing
and hearing by what? The word of God. So if I hear what God says, not what a man thinks. When I hear what God has said in his word, faith comes. Like today I've shared with you, God wants you blessed. And I don't care what politician says, I won't make it. God says I will. Are you listening? I don't care what preacher gets up and say, well now, if prosperity is not for everybody. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through great trials and tribulations, but all through the blood. You just never know what God's going to do. But no matter where you are, whether God slaps you down or whether he raises you up, bless God, just give him the glory. That's honorable to do that. That's honorable to have that kind of attitude. Like Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. The Lord gives, Lord taken away, but God hadn't done that. Job couldn't read the front of the book and saw that devil had taken all that away from him. No matter who tells you otherwise, faith will come when you hear the word of God, and it's the word of God you've got to believe. You've got to leave out of here believing that it is the will of God for you to be blessed. That becoming a Christian and walking with God and obeying God is better than being a sinner. That your life will be better in tangible results. The intangibles are there. The peace will come. The emotional stability comes. But you cannot sell yourself short to believe that that's all God wants to do for you is give you a home in heaven in the sweet by and by. You're his child now. Says, with the heart man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So in order to link up with God, the word confession means to say in agreement with. To say the same thing as. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is activated by the words of my mouth. Hush the person next to you and say, get this. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is released and activated in my life.
the power of God is released and goes to work in my life based on the words that are coming out of my mouth. With my mouth, I either license God to perform his word or I license the devil to interfere with the word of God. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Mark 11, 23, 24. It begins to say there, you will have whatsoever you sayeth. So when I really take that serious, then if I want God's blessings in my life, and I understand that God's blessings don't automatically come to pass, I've got to know what to do. I've got to know how to line my life up so that as I am giving, I know also how to confess God's word over my giving so that I will receive. The plan of giving, God's plan for giving, is not complete until receiving takes place. God's plan for giving is not complete until receiving takes place. And so you've got to learn how to sow with your hands, all right, in giving, but also sow with your mouth. Are you listening to me? You and I must understand that when I sow, you might want to write this, my closing statements here. When I sow according to the plan of God, I will reap what God promised. But if I sow according to any other plan, the results are unpredictable and are purpose destroying. That if I sow according to God's plan, and to sow is to set in motion the process that will cause a return in my life. When I set in motion a process that will cause a return in my life, that is sowing. Whether I'm sowing words out of my mouth, or whether I'm sowing finances into the kingdom of God, or whether I'm sowing seed into the ground. Sowing is when I set in motion a process to give me a predetermined return. And when I sow according to God's plan, in other words, when I say, all right, God, I've been doing it my way long enough. I'm going to do it your way. When I began to do that, the process starts to work so that what God promises comes to pass in my life. If, on the other hand, I want to be like the prodigal son. And let me tell you, the prodigal son, you know, he I don't really believe that he intended to mess his life up. I believe he just wanted to have some fun. And so he said, you know, Dad, you know, I've been around the house long enough. I think I'm old enough to get my own apartment. How many of y'all remember those days? You know, I'm ready to move out. I'm a man now. I can make it on my own. He said, now, Daddy, what I want you to do is you give me my inheritance before time. And, you know, I'm going to get out your hair. I'm going to be a man. So his father gave him his inheritance. And then I don't believe he intended to mess up. But he went out and he began to do those things that his flesh wanted to do. You see, the decisions you make will be guided by one of four areas of influence. Number one, you'll be guided by the lust of your flesh. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. I mean, okay, your daddy, you made your decisions for yourself. You made your mistakes. Let me make mine. Amen. The lust of your flesh. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm grown. You can't tell me what I can't do and what I can do. I'm grown now. I got my own job. I got my own car. I got my own house. I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. God still has ultimate veto and power. Don't fool yourself. Number two, you can be guided by the counsel of darkness, and that is the devil. Going, calling that 1-900 number, asking to speak to those witches on the phone. Those psychics, they're nothing but witches. Filled with the spirit of divination. Yeah, you can tell them I said, I don't care. That's what the Bible said. They don't want to talk to me, I cast them out and put them out of business. Number three, you can be guided by the carnality of your own mind. And that is, you can find out what the world says you ought to do. What is socially acceptable? It's all right to drink a little bit just to be sociable. You know, they all do it. Or you can be guided by the Spirit of God. If you are, even if you err and you sow unintentionally, your seeds will come up. So that's what happened to the prodigal. Man, this guy found himself. He didn't leave home thinking he's going to make a wreck of his life. But he found himself at the pits. There he was. Run out of money. Nobody would help him. He got a job feeding hogs. And for a Jewish boy, that was a load. I mean, to feed a hog, to be near a hog. I mean, a Jewish boy, I mean, that was unthinkable. But there he was. It got so bad that he looked at the hogs eating, and it looked good. Have any of y'all ever fed hogs? Or seen hogs being slopped? I mean, this boy is looking at hog slop, saying, I wonder how that tastes. He got just that low. He didn't intend to, but he sold. He began to do it his own way. Then he thought, this is the good part about God. That whenever you want to turn around, whenever you want to make a mid-course correction, glory to God. The Bible says, and he came to himself and said, how many hired servants have my father? My father got hired servants, and he caught a glimpse of the supper table. From a glimpse of the hog pen, he caught a glimpse of the supper table right after they had finished eating. And he looked on the table in his mind, and he saw food still on the table. He said, my father's got hired servants, and they got food enough to spare. And then he started wiping the slop off of it. He said, I'm going home. I'm going home. Are you listening to me? He said, you know, I'm going to stop doing it my way. I'm going back to start doing it daddy's way. That's what some of y'all must do today. You tried it last year to do it your way. You got to get a glimpse of God's way. And say, hey, I'm going to wipe this adultery off of me. I'm wiping this fornication off. This lying, I got to wipe this slop of lying off of me. Glory to God. I got to wipe this old laziness off of me. It keeps me from coming to God's house. I got to wipe, because I'm going to do it God's way. And I'll tell you what you'll experience. You'll experience exactly what the son experienced. On his way home, his father was there saying, I've been waiting for you, boy. Say, I've been waiting for you. He said, I've already prepared the celebration for you. He said, go get the fatted calf and start preparing him for the meal. Bring my boy a robe and put it on his back. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. It's time to rejoice, because my child that I wanted to enjoy all of this, he's come back to enjoy. Don't you know God gave his son so that you could enjoy his best here on this earth? Glory to God. But I don't want you to be deceived. There will be church folk, just like the elder brother, who will say, what? You mean you're going to bless them, God? God, do you remember her? She was on the street, God, and now she thinks she can come here and sing in the choir? Oh, no, God. There'll be those who want to rain on your party, but guess what? It'll be just like the elder brother. The father went to the elder brother and said, now you ought to be happy. But if you're not happy and you won't come to the party, we're not going to stop the party. Glory to God. So when you come back to God, even though there may be some who look at you strange and your family may say, oh, she just changed for the day. You give another month, she'll have her sugar daddy's back. She'll be back on the street. He'll be back on crack. He'll be back in jail. Don't you let that deter you from enjoying the party. God says, I've thrown the party for you, and I'm not going to let anybody stop your party. Well, I'm out of time. Every head bowed. Glory to God.